Okay, good morning everyone. We can start today's lecture. If you have any questions from the previous lectures, feel free to ask. No questions? Okay, so where are we now? We are in week 45 and today I will take your lecture, and from the next class, Rune will start resuming his lectures. Today we will going to take a look at the relational databases and XML, what lies after these two technologies. Okay, so until now, from week 42 till week 44, we have looked at the XML and we have briefly looked how we can use XML with different web technologies, such as in the PHP and in the HTML, and we see how we can use the XML schemas, such as document type definition and XML schema itself, and we have seen how we can use the style sheet to format the XML files and display them as the XHTML output files. Okay, and then we saw how we can represent the XML into the simple DOM tree representation and how we can use the simple tree representation to display the XML documents. And then we saw how we can validate those XML files. That's what we have seen until now. Now what we are going to see is how we can further utilize the technologies based on the XML to do some further manipulation on the data. Okay. In today's lecture, we will look at the object relational mapping, and then we will see NoSQL databases. So in the initial few lectures, you might have looked at the SQL queries and the databases which utilizes these SQL queries to update the database, retrieve certain values from the database, and to display the content from the databases. In today's lecture, we will see there are quite many databases which do not contain any SQL statements or structured tabular representation. That means that these kinds of databases do not have tables as their core representation to save the values of the data in any structured format. Okay. So in the object relational mapping, we will see that quite often you have databases, you have many tables, you have entities, and you have relationship between them using the foreign keys and the ID primary keys of the tables. You can use those databases to create your applications. Okay. And then you can run the SQL queries on those databases to manipulate the data which are saved in those tables. Quite often what happens is quite often that these fourth generation programming languages are all moving towards object-oriented based approaches. And each of these applications, you need to access certain data which might reside in the databases. And you need to have a separate mapping which can link the databases to these applications, so that you do not need to use SQL-based queries to check how your data looks like and then query the database using your SQL statements. You can use the interfaces provided by the applications as a middleware to communicate between your application and to communicate between the databases where your data actually resides. And that's what the object relational mapping deals with. So it's a set of functions developed in specific languages for which it is created, and you can use those interfaces to communicate with the data and your application to access the data, to update it, to manipulate it. So we are going to see that what ORM stands for. So ORM is a programming technique for converting data between incompatible types, systems in object-oriented programming languages. Now you might have heard of many different IDEs. You might be working on the .NET development frameworks. You might be working on Java-based development frameworks such as NetBeans or Eclipse. And you might have been working on different frameworks. Now all of these frameworks could, in one way or the other, depending upon the application that you are creating, might need to access certain data elements. So you might have database created for certain applications. Okay. And many of these applications do not provide you the SQL query statements to directly access those databases. They provide you a mechanism or a mapping to communicate with your database in your application using a separate interface or a framework. And those frameworks consist of different libraries which provides you the methods and the functions to connect directly with your database. Okay. So for example, you can have tables representation to represent your database. And you have an application that you are developing in any of these IDEs, you quite often have to access this. Now many applications, you can use direct SQL queries to access the database, but sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. Okay. And many of these applications, the developers might not be concerned about how the data is structured and looks like into the database. Quite often you have many restrictions on the database that you do not know what exactly the data is because of the confidentiality issues and because of the privacy related stuff. Okay. So then you could have a middle layer. Okay. And this is sort of like an object relational mapping. In object oriented or fourth generation tools, IDEs, you have programming structured consisting of different objects. So all of your object programming paradigm revolves around creating different objects and different classes. So you create different objects and you create different classes. And the classes and the objects can have data and the methods that you use to process that data. Now, if your data is confined in the application, that's fine. You do not need to access a separate created database. But if your application is trying to access any of these data stored in a database, which it does not have direct access to, it could use this ORM mapping to communicate with the databases that resides in the repositories. Okay. So ORM is a framework that manages the mapping of programming language objects to relational database rows. Okay. And also we have seen that in the databases, you have tables, and you have in those tables rows, and in those rows you have separate columns. Okay. We saw one example in the HTML case when we were looking at the XML file that how we can create table which is different from the user defined table in that case, and the table we can create using this set of metrics attribute provided by the HTML. Okay. In the databases also you have these tables representation where you have each row containing certain values and the columns defines the attributes or the names or the fields present in that table. Okay. This schema differs from the schema utilized in these object-oriented applications. They have a different way of representation. They might have different data types, and the data types that you might be describing in these databases. Okay. So there is a sort of incompatibility between the application and the data that you would like to access. So probably you have created one database and you might have an interface created in C language, another interface created in Java language, another interface created in HTML language. You would not like to define three separate databases for them. You would like to have a single database. But you will still like a mechanism through which you can communicate through all of these different programming interfaces with a single database that we have already created. So what it does, the purpose of this middle layer is to solve the object relational impedance mismatch. That means that this has a different set of formatting, and these programming environments make use of the object oriented approach. And in order to be able to access this data into the classes over here, you need to have certain relational mapping that can link between the two. So what it does is this creates in effect a sort of a virtual object database. So what ORM does for you is it has the actual database residing somewhere. It takes this database and converts it into a virtual database. So your application, instead of communicating with this database, it communicates with the ORM, and ORM provides the database to this application. So that means that this ORM can contain SQL predefined queries to access certain data from this database. So the user programming in this interface does not need to know the actual data which is stored here, but it does only need to know the methods and the functions which are provided by this ORM to use in this application for accessing any of these data which is stored here. So it provides a sort of abstraction, and the data is encapsulated in the ORM, and that's the basic purpose of the classes object oriented approach. You have classes confine the data, it provides a layer of abstraction so that the other classes or functions does not know what the data constitute about. And then you can map this data in the same way, keeping all those object-oriented functionalities and properties in this application. So there are different ways of how we can create the databases into the representation of the classes. So generating classes from an existing database, that means that if we have an application area and we are working in the object-oriented programming approach, we have certain classes. We need to map the data into the classes objects here. For example, we have a class called furniture, and in that furniture we have an object table, and the table might have different properties or fields, the height of the table, the width of the table. All this information could be saved in that database. So in order to populate that class, we need to have a certain representation here. Now we can do it. One of the method of using this ORM is based on the structured independent programming languages such as the XML. So we can use the XML to create a representation of the database, and then the application can use that XML. So through XML based description of the database, we have a database and we can create its XML output. That could be one way of having an intermediate interface for the applications. So we know that XML is machine independent, right? And it's application independent also. So we can use any of these applications to access the XML which creates or contains the data from this database. Or we can use introspection. That means that we can do the analysis and the examination of databases, and based on that, we can check how we can access the data without geoparding the class behavior of the object-oriented programming approaches. So we can imply data tables directly from the classes. So we have the classes. The class could contain its own data, and we can communicate using this ORM through this to this database from one way or the other way. Now there are quite many different technologies that provides us this ORM, and some of them are listed here. The three names that you see, Doctrine, Propel and Zend framework, they are PHP based. That means that if you are working in PHP and if you need to communicate with the databases, you can use either of these frameworks. Or in the Java you have the Hibernate and EJB framework. Now, for example, this Doctrine project is providing several PHP libraries which are primarily focused on the database storage and data object mapping. So if we have Doctrine framework, what it does is it provides the methods and the functions predefined to access the data from this database. That means that if you are trying to access the data from your application to the databases, you do not need to write your own SQL statements or queries to access the data from this. You can use the methods which are provided by this library, and you can only call those methods from your application to access the data which resides here. Okay. Now there are different types of ORM approaches that creates the representation similar to the databases table representation here. Okay. So the gateway actually provides us a passage to communicate between the databases and the applications. Okay. So we have four different types of approaches. One is the table gateway, the second one is the raw gateway, active record and data mapper. Now all of these different approaches deals with how the data is represented virtually in this object relational mapping. Okay. In the table gateway case, each table from the database is represented as a separate instance in the gateway. And all of these methods for all the tables are defined in this ORM for the applications that would like to access that. Okay. So here we see we have ORM table gateway. This is the table example. In this case we have a person, and the person resides somewhere in this databases. Okay. And what this ORM actually does is it takes the table element from the database and create a representation, a virtual database representation that contains all the methods to select, insert, update and delete that could be applied to the data in the databases are all defined in this virtual database interface. And the applications uses this gateway to query whatever they would like to do with the database here. So the applications are not concerned how the data is structured in the database, what fields does the database contains, what are the different relationship between person and the other objects, other tables in the database. So the application is not concerned about. All the application now cares about is the gateway. So it communicates directly with the gateway to update whatever is there in the data. Okay. So this person gateway in this case is a table, and it creates a passage for the application by defining all these possible queries that one could perform on the database. So here we see that it holds all the SQL for accessing a single table or a single view. And we could have all these queries predefined as methods in this file. Okay. So application calls its method for all interaction with the database. So the application is not concerned about the database itself, but it only deals with the gateway. it only deals with this API that contains the interfaces to communicate with the database. Okay. So this ORM then acts as a middleware. An application communicates with this middleware to communicate with the database. Now we have plenty of examples. I will not go into detail because in Thursday's lecture, Rune is going to give you a case study of this ORM, and he is going to show you the working code in the Thursday's lecture. So what I will give you is just a brief overview of what ORM stands for, what are the different approaches to create these, and just to give you the concepts before you go into Thursday's lecture. Okay. So here, this is an example. You do not need to be too much worried about this here at this point, but what this example is doing is that it has a table, gateway, and it's creating and populating this ORM for the application to be used, and it's using the interfaces provided by this ORM to access and manipulate the data. In this case, it's a PHP code. Here you see a Zend database table, which is an abstract class, and we are extending from this abstract class and creating another class called block post table. And then creating a new variable of type block post table, and then we are selecting. So here you see that table select where we are picking all these elements from the database where the author ID matches the given ID. Okay. If he says pick ID equals to 5, it picks and matches the author ID whose ID is 5 in that case, and it creates a descending order. So all those elements which have ID matches the criteria, they will be created and they will be selected. And then we can fetch all those rows. How many rows are there? They will all be fetched, and each row is fetched. And then we can display either the title of those rows, or we can save those records, or we can do whatever we want. But this is just an example to tell you how this ORM table gateway works. In this case, we have a class representation. That means that in any of these object programming languages, you have classes. And the classes have its own methods and its own data. But quite often, you would not like to have the data in your application, but the data might be coming from the databases. So you can populate the data, store the data, and retrieve the data whenever you want. Okay. That means that when you are accessing the data into your methods and classes from the databases, when you are populating them, you need to make sure that they do not violate any of these object-oriented paradigm properties. Okay. Now the next one is ORM row gateway. In that case, it takes a table from the database and it creates a row-based representation. It does not create a full representation of the full table, but it creates a row-based representation. That means each table row is represented as a separate row in that case. So a regular programming language object that looks exactly like the record in the database. Okay. All the details of the data source access are hidden behind this interface. Same as here in the classes, if the data types and the data in those classes are private, they are not public, the other methods and the other classes need not to know what a particular class contains. So they should be hidden from the other classes. And same is the case over here. So the data is not confined in a single table, but the data is distributed into separate rows. And to access each row or different elements, the application has predefined methods in the gateway. So here we see that we have a person object class. The data might be stored in the databases, and we can create an ORM representation by separating it into a separate rows. Okay. In this case, we have person finder, which contains only the IDs as references to find out where that particular object or row resides in the person gateway that is defined as part of this ORM. So in this case, we have person gateway, which contains the information about this person, and it also defines different methods such as insert, update, delete, modify, and all these are defined here. And we can use this interface, which the application knows, to access this. So the function which is defined in this person gateway can be accessed through this person finder, and this person finder is only accessible to class whose name is person in this case. If there are other objects, let's say furniture, we will have a separate furniture finder instance here that contains the further data types, data elements, and those methods which are defined as part of this database. So here what we are doing is now we are creating an ORM representation that picks the table from this and creates a row-wise entries in the virtual interface. Okay. So here what we are doing is we are creating a new row using the table object. So in the databases we have full tables. Now we are not creating a table ORM, but we are creating a row-based ORM gateway. Okay. So here we have another example where we are creating rows and we are populating the rows with the data elements which are part of the columns in the database. Okay. The third one is the ORM active record. Now in the ORM active record, data access logic put directly into the domain object. What happens is that we have the database information, we have the table information, all this information is put directly as it is into a particular domain, and for each classes you could have a single domain. Okay, so if it's a person class, that means you might have a person database entity here, person table here. You could have two classes which extends from the person class, let's say students and the teachers. So person class is your abstract layer. You could have teacher class, you could have student class. So there is a relationship between the person, teacher, and the student class. And then you could have all those classes predefined in the databases. Now when you are creating this ORM active record, if you are trying to access the person object, only your ORM will contain the person object interfaces through which you can access that. If you want to access the students class, to access the student data, you will have only the active record residing in the ORM which is about the person or the student in that case. So for each of the separate records, you will have a separate interface through which you can access that record. Okay. And then we have a data mapper. A data mapper is an additional separate layer that allows the applications and the interfaces to communicate between the data. So it's another layer which is at this level. Okay. So it's the second abstraction layer to the application. Right. So in this case, a layer of software that separates the in-memory objects from the databases. So this is the virtual database copy that is formatted for accessing through this application interface. And then you provide an additional mapping layer between the actual database and then your ORM copy in that case. Okay. So here, the transfers data between the two and isolates them from each other. So in this case, we have a person object database, a table, and then all these definitions are defined in a separate person mapper. Okay. So this person mapper or the mapper data type is the same as the wrapper files in the DLL. Okay. So if you have used .NET programming languages and if you have and API interfaces which are defined for the C language, let's say. And if you want to use the same methods or same interfaces or libraries to be able to use in your C# language, you can use the wrapper DLL files which translates those C language methods into the C sharp language methods. So your application can then use those data compatible APIs in its own application. Okay. So that works in the same principle as in this case. So we have the data. Now in this case, this ORM does not even know what resides in the database. If it wants to access something, it calls this middle layer. And the middle layer is the mapper in this case. So it picks, okay, insert the record, and then the record is inserted into the database here. Okay. So here is an example. We are using the doctrine record abstraction class. We are extending it into the user class. So the user is a class. It has public functions to define the data elements. So that means we are creating a table representation that has rows and that has columns. So we are defining two columns, that this has column username, and we are defining the data type. Now you see that this is all we are doing within the application. So we are not using the SQL statements to update the data or retrieve the data from this database. We are using the programming constructs of the application to achieve the same thing. And why we are doing this? Because we will have certain advantages of using this ORM as a middle layer. Okay. Yeah. So what advantages do we have? Why we need to have a separate layer in between the application and the database? Why not the database is directly accessible by the applications? Okay. So that's what we are looking at. So we see that it is simple to do it for the applications to access the data without knowing what is happening in the database, how the database is structured, how the database is relating to the different databases, where the database resides, if it's the distributed database, how many copies are there, what are the relationship between tables in the databases. The application does not need to know, and neither the developer. So the developer can simply use the application they are comfortable programming in. And then they can use the appropriate relational mapping to access the data. So using familiar object-oriented concepts for manipulating data, if you're working in this object-oriented programming interfaces, you define classes and you define different objects, and everything is treated as an object in OOP programming languages. Okay. So if you are tuned to code in an OOP programming paradigm, okay, if you are tuned to construct the structure and the code in this manner, if you are trying to access using the SQL queries, you might get data type mismatch issues. Okay. And then you might have to write a lot of code to make sure that you have the compatibility data types in the programming language that you are using and the data which is stored in your database. So one way is to remove all those discrepancies that could arise between the two when you are communicating. And in theory, no need to understand online data storage systems. So a developer does not need to worry about how this database actually looks like. And then it's the job of the database designer to design the database, and it's the job of the programmer to access the data in its application. So you can have separate distinctive application tasks for each of those individuals. So one may not need to understand how the data looks like. Okay. And less coding errors due to the framework scaffolding. The framework actually provides you with the methods, and the methods have predefined fields to update the data, to select certain values from the data, and to delete the data. That means that you cannot commit a query into the database through your program directly, creating any problems for the database. Okay. So you can create the application, you can write the code in the object-oriented programming way, you can still able to access the database without destroying it, without creating or committing queries which does not conform to the database that has been designed in a manner. Now, quite often what we see that in certain cases, the performance could be degraded because of the extra layer of abstraction. Because if the application demands that you need to have direct access to the database, then you will not be able to do it if you are providing the ORM interface to be used by the application. Okay. Also, in some cases, you will see that the application cannot directly access certain fields in the database that it would like to because the interface might not provide the functionality or the methods to access those certain fields. So the ORM could be restricted in functionality to be not able to access all those elements which are stored in the database that in certain cases applications would like to use. And it can be verbose. That means that one expression can be represented in multiple ways. You can access the data sometimes in many different ways based on the methodologies and the methods which are provided by this ORM. And you can have many different methods to access the same data. Then you can run into the problems of discrepancies and different issues with the database in this case. Okay. You could have an entries committed into the database that will leave the database in an unnormalized form. So if you have a database in a normalized form, if you do not have the mechanism with the ORM, sometimes you can write and commit queries that violates the certain database constraints. And then it can be inflexible. SQL code may still be needed in some cases if you want to really have access to certain elements in the database which are not provided as methods to access those elements in this interface. Okay. May depend on a specific ORM framework. That means that if you are working on the .NET framework, you need to have the corresponding ORM to be able to access the database. Okay. You cannot use a PHP-based ORM in your .NET framework. Similarly, if you are working in Java language, you cannot use PHP-based ORM to access the databases. And whatever ORM you are using, then you need to confine to its specifications. What it allows you to access, you need to restrict your application code to what functionalities it provides. And programmers start using an RDB when RDB is not the correct store. And in some cases, if you are tuned to access the database directly using your SQL queries, and if you have been working on the ORM, you might sometimes have difficulties writing the code to access what you are looking for in that case. Okay. So then we can have different types of databases also. Until what we have seen is the mapping between the database and the application. Why we need to do the mapping? Because we have classes in the object-oriented programming approach, and all these classes have abstractions, and the data is hidden from the other methods and from the other classes if it's private. If it's public, it should be accessible. Now, quite often what happens is that you still like to have the database to store all this data information. And in order to access the data, you need to have certain mechanism to access the data. So what we are trying to do, if you remember from the XML, the basic advantage of XML was to separate the data from the rest of your application programming interfaces. So we have the same mechanism here. We have the applications, we have the databases, which is independent of the application programming interfaces in which you are working. Okay. And the programmer might not need to access the database directly. You could use the interfaces that eases the programming work at the database level. Okay. So we will take 15 minutes break and then we will look into the NoSQL databases. Okay. Do you have any questions up till now? I'm just giving a brief overview because Rune will go into the detail and he will give you a case study and he will show you how you can use it into the actual paradigm where you have databases, you have the different relationship in the databases, and how you can link it to your application and use the ORM in that concept. Okay.